What's up, everyone? Welcome to Coaches to the Moon. This week, we have a really interesting topic, one that we haven't touched on so much before, and that is incentives as a way to grow your business. And my guest, Marco Torres, he is the man to talk to when it comes to incentives. He founded Marketing Boost, who now have over 10,000 clients worldwide, helping them to add value to their business, to increase their social proof, to increase their lead gen, their database, their bookings, their sales, their client lifetime value by giving and incentivizing with incredible offers such as free hotel stays, discount accommodation and restaurant vouchers, and more in a way that is just creative, it's exciting, and it's almost a no-brainer for any business wanting to grow. Now, while this is not an infomercial podcast, this is an episode where I believe we are promoting the incredible service that Marco is offering, something that we're really interested in here at To The Moon Digital, and something that if you're a small business owner, or indeed a medium business owner, looking to increase your revenue, your client retention, your sales, this could be something to look into. So I really recommend it. It works worldwide. Check out this episode with Marco Torres on Coaches to the Moon. We're talking about incentives. I really hope you enjoy it.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen, an episode that's been a long time coming and one I'm very, very excited for indeed, and I'm not just saying that. We are joined by Marco Torres, the founder of MarketingBoost.com, fellow hospitality survivor, and a man who I'm very interested to chat to about his journey and how he helps businesses to grow through incentives rather than through discounts. Originally from San Antonio, Texas, but now in Florida. Marco Torres, thank you for joining me, mate.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure, mate, to speak to someone who, like myself, started off in the grimy, hot, sweaty, standing up world of restaurants, nightclubs, and having, as I believe, an entrepreneurial father as well. And then kind of found their way out. Not to say there's anything wrong with hospitality. It's a beautiful, beautiful industry, but it is one that I dare say can take you one of two directions. One is successful and the other is miserable. Now, let's just chat about that for a moment, mate. Cause, born in Florida, and you worked with your family in restaurants for a few years. Yeah.
Yeah, it started out, I was born in Texas, actually. I live in Florida now. No worries. But my family was Mexican descendants. My mom and father, you know, first generation growing up in Texas. And then actually they were second. I'm the third generation born in Texas. And so we're Mexican and we were growing up in Puerto Rico. My father was transferred to Puerto Rico in the Virgin Islands to run a big company that he was transferred with because he was bilingual. But when I got out of high school, man, I went to college for about a year and a half, and I knew it wasn't for me. I was always a terrible student in high school. I was a terrible student in college, and I convinced my older brother and my mother, you know, hey, mom, you cook Mexican food really good. Every time you throw these huge parties, everybody loves your food. Let's open a restaurant, you know, grand idea. The smart thing my dad did was, well, you guys don't know anything about the restaurant business. If you want to do that, prove it to me. And so my brother and I went to live with my uncle in Dallas, in San Antonio, Texas. And we went to work for a bunch of Mexican restaurants. We were funnel hacking before there was any such thing as funnels. In other words, we went in and we worked the midnight shifts. We took pictures. We had those little Kodak camera, cardboard cameras with the little things you would, you know, roll to the next picture. And we'd get a sneak in those little cameras and like spies. We were taking pictures of all the inventory, the equipment, what the invoice sheets, the pricing, the equipment layout, what equipment, you know, the brands of equipment. And we worked, you know, so we could be the last ones cleaning up the place. And while we're in there all by ourselves, we're taking all the pictures and basically spying on how to do this. Eventually we put together our own plan rather than buy a franchise. And we opened up a Mexican restaurant in Puerto Rico. And then we opened five in 5 years. And It was a good run. We ended up selling to Taco Bell, a few of them to Taco Bell when they came. They wanted to get into the island, and we had the lockdown on the food courts that they wanted, and we got out at a good time.
Wow, what a story. Ay caramba. Bit of recon work on the restaurant scene, funnel hacking in the space of enchiladas and a arroz con pollo is a very interesting concept, mate. I love that. And this was all when you were young, and it's so funny how many people have been convinced to run a restaurant because they're good at cookery, right? And then how horrible of a decision that often is. But you guys seem like you did the right thing. I had my own cafe for the first time at 22 or 23 as well, I believe, because we started in a catering business. I worked in restaurants from the age of 17 for about 5-6 years, started a catering business, started a cafe, and then you start to realize that, yeah, you are sort of 50 grand in the hole before day one, and you're making your money back a coffee at a time, and there is always going to be bills every week, whether or not you make a single dollar. So yeah, I didn't last that long in my own. I sold my half back to my business partner, and he's very successful now with a couple of high functioning burger restaurants. But then you open your own nightclub at 23. Now this seems crazy to me, because in America you can only drink at 21. So you've only been able to spend, you can maximum have had 2 years experience in the space, unless you had some dodgy ID and your business tactics so far tell me maybe you had your methods.
We had a full service restaurant in St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, with the bar and everything, and so I had, you know, a little bit of experience as far as the bartending and stuff was concerned, and drinking out myself. But the nightclub came about with one thing I've always done in my life is leveraged partnership opportunities. I found a location that was out of business that used to be a club, and I went and found a guy older than me and a little more business savvy than me at the time, and talked him into going in with me 50-50, and so he had some money to put in, so did I. At that time I had the restaurants and everything, and so together we launched the club, and I had become pretty good at marketing and what have you, and I really enjoyed the marketing of the club because it was all about, you know, radio advertising and coming up with theme campaigns and party events and what have you. I'd fly to Fort Lauderdale once a month, and from Puerto Rico and recruit a band, and so we'd have live rock and roll bands coming into the island of Puerto Rico, and the kids would love it at the time. It was different. You know, they had all these fresh rock and roll bands coming into the island. And then I'd take the same band and bounce them to another club in St. Thomas that wasn't mine, but I was basically like the broker. So I was making money selling them to St. Thomas and St. Croix. And I would recruit a band and say, hey, you get a 90-day gig when you come work with me. You get 30 days in Puerto Rico, 30 days in St. Thomas, 30 days in St. Croix. And it's a 90-day gig. And I was making a little bit of money, my money back from selling them off in St. Thomas and St. Croix. But I would pay for my club, you know, my 30 days with me. And it was a home run. It was a home run for a few years until I ended up almost on the front page of a newspaper for like a big riot that blew up one night in the club. And I was on the second page of one of the bloodiest newspaper in Puerto Rico. If I had ended up on the first page, I wouldn't be here. Right. But after that, the club was never quite the same. And I've sold my half to my partner, and 6 months later, he was out of business. So timing is also imperative in business. You need to know and kind of feel your gut when it's time to get out. So,
well done. Well done. Big riot. That's something you don't have to deal with in the Italian restaurant scene or the fine dining scene or indeed the internet marketing scene. So, yeah, I would imagine nothing else came out of that, Marco. A lot of life lessons came from these businesses that were so vastly different from what you do now. But do you see any parallels, any common threads between running a brick and mortar club and then moving into the internet marketing space that you're now doing?
Well, Yeah, the common thread is you still need to get people to take action. And the first step when I was in the restaurant and the club business was I had to get them to walk in the door, right? You had to get, you know, you had to do campaigns, you had to do marketing, you had to do, you know, back then we didn't have internet when I was doing this. So it was newspapers and magazines and public, you know, press releases and getting articles written about you and paid press releases and radio show, you know, interviews and getting the band interviewed on the radio stations. And it was all about what can you do to get promo, you know, and today business, whether you have those brick and mortar businesses still have a lot of the same tactics. Of course, now they get the benefit of adding digital marketing to the mix. So they still should be doing all of the old school stuff from billboards to, you know, press releases and everything else. But now, of course, you can add, you know, the ease of generating one thing. And I still don't see enough businesses doing this, especially brick and mortars. It amazes me how few brick and mortar businesses don't do anything to solicit a name, phone number, and email from all of their clients walking in the door to build a database. So whether you're an online business or an offline business, you need to be building a database, which I didn't have the ease of doing back when I was in the restaurant and the nightclub business. There was no internet, you know. But anyway, today you got to build that database, and it's not that hard to do so that you can then own your own marketing without having to always depend upon some other source of opportunity to get in front of people, whether it's Facebook or radio or TV or newspaper. If you own the database, you can email them, you can text message, you can send ringless voicemails. That's something in today's world that's better than it was back then and a lot easier to do because there is so much technology available today like never before and affordable technology to create, you know, CRMs and sales funnel landing, you know, all that kind of stuff that makes it fun.
Agreed. And that's what we do day in, day out here at To The Moon Digital. But I am curious. I got a lot of questions. So strap in, Marco Torres. But you just touched upon brick and mortar businesses collecting contact information from their visitors who walk into the shop. Just throw me out one or two top ideas that we may not have thought of as to how we can start to do that without people feeling like they're being, you know, tracked or whatever. And I'll say this because I am very much not a fan of ordering through a QR code when I could just as easily go up to the counter and talk to a human being. So, talk to me about it. How do you find the balance of digitizing and lead capture, but also maintain that quality experience for your guests?
Well, I too, like you just said, I hate a restaurant that won't hand me a physical menu and expect, you know, forces me to log into or go to a website to look at to get, you know, where now everybody at the table is back to our phones and stuff instead of talking to each other.
Ridiculous.
We're doing exactly what we shouldn't be doing. We're back on the damn devices instead of chatting with each other and, you know, talking to an actual waiter or something.
Yeah. Right.
But what I suggest with any business out there is, you know, you've got to, what can you do to create super fans for your business? What can you do to, you know, to create business super fans, evangelists for your brand? And that's one of the things that we do at Marketing Boost is we kind of provide the wow, surprise, and delight factor for businesses. But, excuse me, to give you an idea, it's, if you're a brick and mortar, you might want to be coming up with some sort of a rewards program. What can you come up with as a rewards program or as a referral and incentives? Tell others about my business. You know, maybe you come up with a table tents on each of the restaurant tables or a countertop signage that says, you know, tell your friends on Facebook where you're at right now. Pin us on Facebook and we'll reward you with some sort of incentive. You know, then the QR code might, you know, again, it's optional, right? You train your staff and everybody to be saying, hey, please, you know, click on our QR code and register to win a complimentary dinner on us. You know, use your own incentives, create your, you know, maybe it's your own incentives you're putting on there. We're giving away once a week. We give away a dinner for four on us. All you got to do is register, put in name, phone number, and email, and you've given them, you've created your own incentive and or user marketing boost incentive. We talk about that later. But the idea is, you know, what is your, like McDonald's does, what is your adult happy meal? How are you bringing people back into the business over and over? And how are you getting people to take their eye off of the price and focus on the prize like McDonald's does? Or, you know, I'll talk about an incentive idea that Amazon does as well that might grab your attention.
Please talk about it, because I'm loving it so far.
So Amazon, you know, let's think about one of the richest, most powerful online retailer in the world. He came up with an incentive marketing idea back in 2005 that we're all, almost all of us on the, nearly the planet now are using. And we bought into Amazon Prime. We didn't buy into Amazon Prime in 2005 for streaming video. Nobody really was into that just yet. We bought into Amazon Prime because the incentive, the carrot was free shipping, free two-day shipping. Today you can get free, you know, same-day shipping, right? But the carrot, the incentive was free shipping, and you paid an extra 70, kind of like a Sam's or a Costco membership. You pay for the membership to have access to purchase at a discount. Well, with Amazon, we paid for that membership to get the free shipping, the incentive. Obviously, huge success. People are loyal evangelists for Amazon. We 70% of all online searches start on Amazon before, you know, for purchases over anybody else. So McDonald's, another idea. They for decades now, they have the Happy Meal. So parents with children are choosing McDonald's over other fast food outlets to the tune of about $4 billion a year in extra revenue that McDonald's can ties to their Happy Meal. And the idea being that parents are coming in because they bundle the soda, the snack, the juice, the fruit, or whatever they're putting there, and this toy, the seasonal toy that will entertain the child for a few minutes. So maybe, you know, mom and dad might even be able to get a few words in edgewise over lunch. So, you know, I'd say what to business owners, what is your happy meal? What is your adult happy meal? And what can you be doing, whether you have a brick and mortar business or an online business? What can you be doing to stand out from the crowd? How can you add value to whatever your call to action is so that it, so you stand out, so you can create, you know, repeat business. And it's only three ways to really build your business at the end of the day. You either need one, more clients, more customers, or you need those customers to spend more, or, you know, to spend more often, or thirdly, to spend more per transaction. Yeah. That's really it. Now, how you do that is a whole other story. So one of the ways to do that is you need to be creating rewards programs. You need to get your clients referring others, you know, all the basics, right? But trust me, incentives can help make that happen. And Alex, when we can keep talking about all kinds of things, but
let's talk about it because I love hearing people's perspectives on it, because respectfully, you've had a lot longer in this business than myself. I came into the marketing, internet marketing space, you know, in the, I don't know, 2017, 2016, that sort of thing. And so I know that you started with internet marketing in sort of like the late 90s. And so I love to hear just the breadth of ideas and experience that you've accumulated, because I've come in just in the time of Gary Vee, Russell Brunson, you know, Grant Cardone, all the big names. Everyone's kind of doing the same thing. But it's really, really just fun for me to hear about that stuff. But incentivization is the phrase that you've used a few times, because this is what your business is based on. And what the kind of the promise that you've got for marketing boost is you help businesses grow with incentives rather than discounts. And a lot of us will lower our prices to invite attention, but I'm not sure who coined the phrase, there's no value being the second cheapest in your market. So give us a little rundown of marketing boosts and what you do, and then we'll dig into me grilling you on how it's so valuable, because I'm really interested.
Sure. So, well, for starters, like you say, I was an early adapter in 1996. I got an internet marketing, and in my career since then to today, for my own businesses or my clients, I've generated over $1 billion in online transactions. In the early days, you know, it was interesting. Nobody bought over the internet. Back when I started, it was everybody would, you know, you could advertise online, email and stuff, but people would have to speak to a call center. They wanted to talk to somebody and they would put their credit card in, you know, over the telephone. Today, that's the last thing people want to do. They want to book online. They want to read reviews. They want to buy without talking to anybody. So that's been a definite change over the decades. And the way, you know, the story of how Marketing Boost was born is kind of a good segue onto how and why these incentives work. We started out, I've been in the travel space since the middle 90s as well. And we launched our own travel business in 2010, and we were doing really, really well. But we wanted video reviews. We wanted testimonials. We wanted that social proof that, by the way, every business, of course, needs today almost as much as anything else. You need the proof that you are what you say you are. You need to set yourself up as the expert, the authority, and have as many reviews written and video as possible. Well, we wanted video. We were selling hotels and resorts around the world, and we wanted video reviews of these properties, but we couldn't get anybody to actually go that extra mile and film us a selfie testimonial. So we came up with an idea to offer them a reward, a bonus, an incentive when they were, now mind you, this tip, Alex, works for any business to this day still. And that is, we do a survey with our clients when we expect them to be at their peak of happiness, which in our case was the day after they check into the hotel. So we'd send them an email and text message and say, hey, how's the hotel living up to your expectation? And we'd say, please give us a star rating of, you know, from 1 to 5. And if we got a 4 or 5 stars back, we would then with automation, send them an email and text message saying, hey, would you do it? We're thrilled that you're loving the hotel. We'd love to ask you a huge favor. If you go the extra mile and film a, hotel review, selfie video from the pool, the beach, the bar, whatever you like best about the property, brag about their hotel brand in ours. We'll reward you with a bonus complimentary 3-night hotel stay on us in Orlando or Las Vegas. Now, we knew that was going to cost us a lot of money, but we wanted those video reviews. And so right away, that worked. We started getting dozens of these coming in, and we were publishing them all over our website, on our Facebook pages, our YouTube, getting the exposure that we wanted, generating hundreds of more sales. But we had to turn that off, that campaign, because it was expensive. You know, when these people raise their hand, I want that free trip you promised, we would have to dig into our pockets to pay for their rooms. And then we thought, man, what could we do to keep this going without costing a bunch of money? We went back to our hotel partners, since we were in the travel space, and we said, look, you've got a problem, and we think we have a solution you're going to like. Let's be honest, your hotel is not full year-round. You've got empty rooms. You're sure you fill on certain holidays, peak seasons, special events, conventions, but the majority of the year, 50, 60, 70% of the year, you've got 30, 40, 50% of your room sitting empty. Yet you still have the same fixed costs, the mortgage payment, the front desk staff, maintenance people. The only additional cost is the maid service if someone checks in. And so we said, if you can give us access to those empty rooms, rooms that are likely to go empty, we're going to put warm bodies, couples, individuals in those rooms. They're going to likely spend money at the restaurant, bar, casino, gift shop, excursion desk, book extra nights, upgrade room types. And so we got a few hotels to agree to participate on a trial basis in Orlando and Las Vegas. Now we were able to go back to giving, you know, soliciting those reviews for ourselves and rewarding people with a complimentary hotel stay. And guess what? By the way, that website now has over 30,000 video testimonials, more than any other travel website in the world, from people on different resorts and hotels. But that became the idea where we said, wow, can you imagine if we had hotels all over the world participating? We'd have another standalone business. And that's what became MarketingBoost.com today, where what we do, Alex, is we provide what I call the wow, surprise, and delight factor. We provide business owners the ability to give away complimentary hotel stays from 3 to 7 nights in over 130 destinations around the world. They don't include airfare, food and beverage, or the government taxes and fees have to be paid by somebody. Typically, our members let the end user who receives the incentive cover that. And they just do a disclaimer like I just did with you. And now they have a very high perceived value incentive to add to their call to action, for example. We also offer hotel savings cards in multiple increments, $1, $2, $3, and $500, and restaurant savings vouchers that come in $25, $50, $100, $200. But the idea here now is with those three categories of incentives is how can you incentivize your clients, for example, like we were talking about at the restaurant, click on a QR code to enter to win 5 nights in Cancun. We give away one trip a week. You could be the lucky winner with your family, so enter to win. You could create incentives for referrals. If you're a realtor, you could be sending people on birthdays and their anniversaries. You could send them an incentive of some sort just as a gift to keep you top of mind. You could, realtors use them, for example, as a housewarming gift. You could use them at open houses to get people to register and give you accurate information when they're ready. Because you could have a table tent, countertop sign saying, hey, we're giving away 3 nights in Las Vegas to somebody at this open house today. Register to see the home and you might be the winner of a trip to Las Vegas. There's a million ideas. People use them to build their social media contests and giveaways, trade show events, trade show giveaways at an event so you can get everybody to drop their business card in the bowl or register online right at your with tablets at your countertops. Man, we can go on and on. With a little bit of creativity, incentives work to get people to do whatever your call to action is. And obviously, if you're putting them into a sales funnel or into a purchase flow, then these different incentives can get people to do everything from get your calendar full with more booked appointments. If you're a business coach, one of the things, Alex, I'm rambling on. Let me let you pop in with a question by now.
No, you're all good because they do keep coming up, but I've got a nice vision of the business now. I love the way you came up with it. I think that was really, really interesting. The majority of people are, not going to run out and film a video review just, that quickly, because I think outside of this sort of entrepreneurial space, not everyone's really used to that. The selfie review can feel very awkward, especially if they're in public. So I think that's a great idea back in the day. And, and then social proof. So one thing I wanted to touch on there was actually asking your
clients for a review or for a referral.
Exactly. Yeah. And you mentioned something really interesting, which was we asked for a review at the point of peak happiness, where a lot of people will ask for a review like in the service-based industry, like the coaching industry. Maybe once someone's finished their program, that sort of thing. We always ask when someone's just had their best result. So I suppose the question would be, how can you tell when your customer's at a peak point of happiness and how do you capitalize on that to get that great social proof?
Well, that takes some time, right? You got to know your business, know your numbers, and kind of if you have a hands-on approach with your clients, you're going to get let's say you have a subscription model business, right? You likely have some churn and people start canceling after 5, 6, 7 months of using your service. So when were they happiest? Maybe it's 2 months in. They've been watching your video trainings. They've been getting into it. They've seen some successes, and so that's when you want to be asking for the referral. Rather than 6 months later, 7 months later, when they found something else to chase, some other shiny object, and now they're not as into your product. They forgot what was good about your product already, and they may not be writing you a review. So, if you can calculate when you think they're going to be at the peak of it, like in our case, it was when we were selling travel, it was pretty easy. We could ask for that when they got back from the trip, but when they got back from the trip, by then, there might have been some stuff, gone wrong. So they might have lost their luggage. They might have missed their flights. They might have, who knows what might have gone wrong during the trip, right? So if we get them on the day of check-in, when they're just impressed with the lobby, the hotel was beautiful, the front desk staff was great, they went into their room and it smelled great, everything was wonderful, you could right then on the same day of check-in or the next day is the perfect time to say, hey, how's the, that was, for example, our case, easy. So every business is going to be different. Is when would you think that peak is going to be? And that's also a matter of A/B testing as far as when should I do that survey? When do I get the most responses? I like to do the survey. I suggest that because, you know, rather than ask everybody for a review, I'd rather be asking, I want the feedback from everybody. That I do want. I want the feedback from everybody. How are we doing? What do you think of our business? But that's coming in kind of privately. And so if they did give me a 1, 2, or 3 stars for some reason and with a complaint along with it, that gave us a chance to immediately try to fix it as well on the day after they checked in. What can we do to fix it immediately? Maybe we can at least hear them out. Worst case scenario, if I couldn't do anything about the hotel they're in, and the complaint they have with the front desk staff or whatever, at least I can let them vent with me, with us privately, versus deciding to go post a negative review. So that we gave them an outlet to vent. And if they were happy, then we're going to say, please, here's, and we're going to, you know, give them some ideas, you know, here's some ideas on what you could post and yada, yada. And here, you know, if you can write us a written review here and if you'll get and a written review there. And mind you, we would also throttle these or filter these reviews. We would send some to Google My Business, some to Facebook, some to Trustpilot, some to SiteJabber, some to other third-party review sites, yep. So that we're constantly getting these reviews coming in, and Google has no choice but to, you know, when people search for our brands, they have all these third-party review sites with positive reviews coming in, boom, 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 boom. Those are all appearing in the top 10. So, you know, rather than just having these reviews only on my own website or what have you, we're pushing them here. Here's the link. Please post on Trustpilot. Please post on SiteJabber. Please post on here. Or please post us a video review on YouTube or what have you. And
yeah.
Home run is how that works. I love it.
Yeah. Really, really, really clever. And the client feedback thing is really interesting because a lot of us maybe we don't want to get the client feedback in case there's anything that we don't want to hear, right? But then the next thing you said, because it's just golden nugget after golden nugget here with Marco Torres today, is we'd much rather get the negative feedback straight to us than left publicly before we had a chance to fix it. This was something we would often get. One of my best restaurant managers ever would say he had a sign up in the kitchen saying, customers won't give you negative feedback unless you ask for it. Most people, what they'll do instead is they won't come back and they'll tell their friends. And that was huge. I didn't really think about that. Maybe it's an Australian theme because we're quite English here in Australia and everyone kind of, no one wants to raise their voice or cause any, you know, controversy or conflict. Maybe it's different in the States where I think people maybe speak their mind a little more. But that was super interesting. And so now, the kind of threat of a bad review can be very, very scary to someone new in business. Later in business, you know that these things happen and you can't please everyone. Earlier on, rectifying those things is great. So I want to get back to Marketing Boost in just a sec, but I'd love your idea on some graceful ways to ask people for feedback on your business so that it can be constructive and you can actually improve with it.
Yeah, well, you know, one is timing. Find the right time to do it. And it's really, I mean, like talking to a friend who came into your business. How would you say it if it was in person with your friend? You'd say, hey, John, I really appreciate any feedback you'd give us, you know, because I don't ask all my customers this, but I'd certainly like to ask you, tell me the truth. What did you think about our, you know, everything, our business, or what did you think about our dinner? What did you think about our service? And you can do the same thing with a client. It says, you know, we really would appreciate any feedback, good or bad. Be honest. Tell us how are we doing so far, or what suggestions would you give us to improve? And that opportunity, that feedback, you're going to find, you know, your raving fans, and of course, those raving fans are the ones you're going to say, wow. Thank you. We're thrilled that you're loving our product. Would you help us share this and that opinion with everybody in the world? And if you would, you know, here's some links, you know, here you could post it on here. You might want to say this, or you just tell, you know, and people need help with that. They don't even want to take the time to write a review either. So if you did that for them, says, you know, if their feedback was, we loved your this and your that, then you might take the time to put that back into the email and say, would you tell the rest of the world in a simple way how you loved this and that? You know, so that they can, oh, that's a good idea. I'll just say what I, you know, my feedback, and I'll put that into my post, and boom. So you got to make it as easy as possible and as painless as possible for them to make that review. And then you want to, I suggest, have people, you know, all of these third-party review sites, they try to charge you an arm and a leg. They're almost like extortionists. They want, you know, SiteJabber, Trustpilot. They want you to join and pay them thousands a month to manage your reputation online. You don't really need to do that at all. All you need to do is throttle, have positive reviews going in that you've solicited from the people that gave you good feedback, to post those third-party reviews on those third-party websites. They have no choice but to accept them into, you know, a review about your business. And even if you do get a negative one occasionally, which you likely will if you're doing a lot of business, then you're gonna continue to just have positive new ones coming in all the time and kind of burying any negative that might come in there occasionally. And of course, if you do get a negative, you need to work on it. You need to contact that client. You need to see if you can fix the problem. Then you might throw in, I've found that our incentives actually help manage your online reputation as well in that scenario, because you can contact the client and say, listen, we'd love if you'd give us the opportunity to hit the reset button. We want to invite you back. We want to fix it. We're going to ship you a new product. We're going to give me the chance to rebuild your sales funnel. Let me do it again, right? If you give me a chance to fix it, not only will I do that, I also would like to reward you with 3 nights in Las Vegas on us just for all of this aggravation. And of course, it doesn't include airfare, food and beverage, or government taxes and fees. So that you gave them the disclaimers. But if we do all that for you, would you consider taking that review down, or at least updating it?
Yeah.
And you're going to get people to take down a negative review, or at least update it after you fix the problem. And because those negative reviews live on the internet forever, so you need to try to work on fixing a negative if and when you get one. And of course, the best thing you can do is pile on the good ones, so that when people are considering doing business with you, they see some social proof, and bam, it's easy to say. Nobody wants to be the first one to jump in the pool to see how cold or how hot it is, you know, how cold the pool is. So they'd rather push somebody else in, you know, how's it feel? How cold is it? Okay, I'll get in now. So the point is, you know, nobody wants to be the first one to do business with you. They want to see that others have liked your product or service as well.
Yeah. It's almost like compound interest, isn't it? Like when getting off the ground in the first place with a business is you're in first gear, all the energy is coming out, and then just a few, one or two case studies, good reviews lead to more. And then sometimes you find that one person who just blows the business up, that one client, and who posts about it or has such authority in their community or in the space that people cannot help but listen to them. And then from there, it's like that hockey stick just goes.
But you know what, too? I've found this in multiple businesses of mine. If you ask, you shall receive, right? Yeah. You know, right out of the Bible. So if you ask for help, is another way to put it. You might, if you're a new business and you don't have that credibility, authority, and that list of testimonials yet, you can ask your new clients. You go, hey, you know, we're pretty new in business. We've been in business for 3 months or 1 month, or we opened last week. You know, I would love to ask your help. If you enjoyed our service and product so far, would you do us a, you know, could you help me spread the word about it? Could you help us and post a review and give them that, those links, and make it easy? But asking for help, whether you're a brand new business, if they like your service, they're going to, because you're right about one thing. It's not in our, none of us really want to go about posting reviews for anybody. It never crosses, when we buy a product or service, we expect to be happy. So we don't think anything of going about and posting reviews about how happy I was. I paid good money for this. I expect to be happy. Yeah. I only think about writing a review, right? When I'm not happy. Yeah. And that's when I want to go tell the whole world about how crappy this was or whatever. And so that's why you want to solicit opinions from people that when they are happy with you, ask them to make a post a review or tell their friends or post, you know, give you referrals. And when people do that, they've also automatically become kind of a brand ambassador for you. If you got them to post that review about you or post a testimonial, or if you can imagine, film a video testimonial and publish it somewhere, they are now, they convince themselves they are your brand ambassador. They are loving, they are going to believe it because they just finished saying it in writing and or in video. So they're going to be like, they're going to take a lot before, you know, they'll forgive you now if it's not perfect moving, you know, whatever along the way.
Yeah, I love it. And I also love the idea of just giving someone a free holiday as reputation management as well. What an asset to have. It's almost kind of taking it back to that Mad Men style of business where you're just whining and dining the client, just lavishing them with dinners and gifts. And I feel like that is missing these days because everything's so commoditized that these special touches everything's very transactional, commoditized, and these special touches, it feels like old school business and something that we can bring back. And so I'm looking at something here that it says that marketing boost, and transparently, we don't come on this show to pitch things to the audience. We just, when I find something interesting, I'm really interested in it. Marketing boost, it says that people can subscribe to it from $37 a month. So if you're saying, as a business, if I'm paying $37 a month to your platform, that gives me the ability to have access to free hotel rooms, that sort of thing?
That gives you the ability to have all of these three categories of incentives that I mentioned, the restaurant incentives, the hotel savings cards, or the complimentary hotel stays. And it gives you the ability to give them away as many of them as you want, believe it or not. So we created like a yeah. And you get to use one for yourself. So when you join, you get to select one of these destinations to give to yourself. In Australia, for example, Alex, we have, I don't remember, 10 or 15 destinations that, you know, so you can give one to yourself and you can test one of these incentives out for yourself. And again, they don't include transportation to and from the hotel or, you know, the airfare or driving there. They don't include the food and beverage when you get there. And they don't include the government taxes that are going to be expected when somebody would normally check into a hotel. So that can be paid for by the Marketing Boost member if they wanted to. Alex, if you had a business coach that sold a $20,000 annual coaching program with a nice, nice profit margin in it, he might want to pay the taxes for his client and give them a truly complimentary 3-night hotel stay in Brisbane or in Sydney or what have you, or 7 nights in Phuket, Thailand, and what have you, or Bali, and pays the taxes and fees himself. Or he could say the disclaimer, like we, most of our clients do, hey, I'm going to give you this complimentary hotel stay. It doesn't include airfare, food and beverage, or government taxes and fees. So you need to pay the taxes and fees. The way it works is the end user pays an activation fee to use it. That covers those taxes and fees when they're going to travel. And then they have 18 months to log in to select the dates. Based on availability, they'll be able to pick a hotel, get instant confirmation, no hoops to jump through, no sales presentations to listen to, no hoops at all to go through to be able to use the incentive.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. It's there's always those catches like a timeshare thing or whatever. A timeshare presentation when you get somewhere that sounds too good to be true that really dampens the experience a little bit. But it does sound like a super beneficial, everyone wins sort of idea. And not only for marketing, but for customer attention, rewarding your best clients. You know, you've been with us for 6 months now or a year with us. Here's a gift on me. And I can say, as a dad of two kids and my wife, we just booked a holiday yesterday. Costs a heck of a lot more for four people than it does for one or two people. So I think everything is very, very much appreciated. And it's a gesture, right? It doesn't like, it's like sending out a free shot of limoncello at the end of a meal. It's just a gesture. It doesn't have to be.
It's a gesture. Yeah. Whether they activate it to use it or not, it's that gesture. It's that positive thing.
Yeah.
And leave, you know, And they can be used, you know, Alex, give you some more ideas. You know, in today's world, again, like you mentioned, we're all doing the same thing. We're all following Russell Brunson. We're all building sales funnels. We're all doing webinars. Well, and all kinds of stuff like that, right? So, you know, how do you, one of the ways we've seen a lot of our clients really knock it out of the park with something as simple as using our smaller incentive rewards, like a $100 hotel savings card. They work kind of like a gift card, but they don't pay for the entire hotel stay. There'll be a discount compared to retailers. And, you know, you might say, book an appointment with my team or jump, get on our calendar. Whether you join our service, buy our services or not, we're going to reward you with a $100 hotel savings card for booking the appointment and, of course, showing up on time. So now you can be sending them all your reminder messages saying, show up on time for your 2 o'clock appointment tomorrow. And I'm going to reward you with this $200 hotel savings card, whether we do business together or not, as my gift. So now you've got another, you know, incentive to remind them to show up, and you're going to kill two birds with one stone. One, get more appointments. Two, get less no-shows. Yeah. And what would that do for you or your sales team if you're talking to more people? Likely means you're going to make some more money. That's one thing. You know, for lead magnets, for example, lead magnets have been popular for, I don't know, a decade or so.
Yeah.
And so we know that if you're the expert, the authority, you should be putting out content, right? You hear that from from Russell. You hear that from Gary Vee and everybody else. Putting out quality content. You got to be putting out PDFs with, you know, why you're the expert. Giving people information. Giving them YouTube video content. Inviting them to your webinar for free. Well, one of the things you can be doing is saying, for example, if you download my PDF, I'm the expert realtor. I'll teach, you know, download my PDF on how to sell your house faster than anybody else, or how to buy a house with bad credit, or whatever your expert is at. And then you might say, you know, when you download my PDF, we're also going to give you a $100 restaurant savings voucher.
Yeah.
Just for entering your, you know, when you download our PDF, or we're going to give you a $100 hotel savings card when you subscribe to our newsletter and download our PDF. So you're adding another goodie, another cherry on top to help people, give them that reason to give you an accurate name, phone number, and email to build your database so that you can nurture that prospect into a client little by little. And you did that in part by offering them something attractive up front.
I absolutely love it.
You know, and or you can add it, you know, dangle it as the carrot. You got a lot of coaches on your listener base here, business coaches selling high ticket items. And of course, they need people to do what? They need people to pay for not just the first time. They need, you know, ongoing payments for 6 months, for a year. Hire me as your coach. It's going to take us working together for 3 to 6 months before you're going to see us implement all of these strategies into your business. So I'll tell you what, you know, when you hire us today, if you pay in full for 6 months in advance, here's a reward we have for you. You know,
yeah.
7 nights in Phuket, Thailand. Or if you, on your 6 months anniversary, when we've worked together for 6 months, I'm going to reward you with this bonus. You know, or when you reach 1,000 points at my cafeteria, at my coffee shop, when you bought 1,000, we have one chain of coffee shops. They have a rewards platform, and when you earn 1,000 points, which is equivalent to $1,000 worth of coffee and snacks, you earn some rewards. And of course, those are, you know, they use the Marketing Boost rewards when they reach those higher levels of usage. So there's, again, it's whether you use Marketing Boost or not. It's like, yeah, you said, we're not an infomercial here. I don't want to be enough. Sorry if I came across like
that. No, not at all.
But the point is, whether you use Marketing Boost incentives or not, create your own.
Yeah.
What can you do? If you're a business coach, you might say, here's an idea for your own incentive. When you pay for 6 months in advance, you get the 7th month free. Instead of me discounting from, hey, you know, my normal price is $10,000 for 6 months. If you pay for 6 months in advance, you know, it'll cost you $8,000. Instead of dropping 20%, hold your price and throw in the 7th month free. You know, it's like, that's not going to cost you as much as actually losing 20% off the top today. So, or what else can you add free? Another idea, Alex, I've taught people to do is collaborate. If I'm selling a business coaching course, you know, I might collaborate with you, Alex, and you have another course. And when I sell my course, I'm going to include the first couple of chapters of yours, and you might include the first few chapters of mine. And so now when you sell your product, you know, you're including my coaching course, so I get those leads to work with as well. And everybody I sell, you get the leads to work with. So we're collaborating on leads and we're sharing, you know, the content and what have you in the training process. You know, you get the idea. It's how can you collaborate and have additional value, additional bonus, additional wow, surprise and delight factors of your own? It would be obviously good, but if you don't have that, you know, we have some different incentives that kind of help as well. And we found really since COVID, these work for nearly any business because everybody's still crazy to when they want to go travel. They're tired of, if they haven't already gone traveling, they're back in the travel mode. And now with inflation as high it is almost everywhere in the world, saving on travel is attractive. So when you add these incentives, they work.
Mate, it feels like something that would do very well on a webinar. I'm not sure if you have a webinar, but what you are presenting feels like you would have people running to the back of the room to sign up for this. And I'm sure you have many times in your career, mate. Super duper interesting stuff. Marketing boost, incentivizing your audience to build your database, to get better social proof, better client retention, more sales, more show-ups. Show-ups stick rate is, I would say, the biggest, you know, headache for people in my situation who book appointments online. People confirm the appointment and then don't rock up, and then you've got yourself or a salesperson sitting there, you know, with their head in their hands, just missed another appointment. So the incentivizing is very, very cool. And I came in skeptical, and I've left a transformed man. I think this is a very, very cool idea, man. And I'm sure you know that and don't need me to say it. But Marco Torres, marketingboost.com. You have a 7-day free trial and $37 a month after. I think it's a real grand slam offer, my friend. Congratulations on everything you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, we have a Facebook group. It's free as well with over 30,000 entrepreneurs. We have our own podcast like you where we're interviewing experts. The idea we want to do is help business owners on that journey, right? It's not easy. I mean, it's easy to get in. As you mentioned before we actually started recording, you know, in today's world, anybody can pretty much get into the online world of coming up with something to sell or market online. Obviously, it's very competitive. And it's a lonely journey to be an entrepreneur, and yet it's rewarding. But you know, like on my desk, I've got this little. There's nobody in my. I work from home, like many others. You know, I used to have a big 10,000 square foot office in Miami with a bunch of people. Now I got people working all over the world, and most everybody's home based. And so there's nobody to pat me on the back when I do a good job. So I celebrate the small things, and I'd like to leave your audience with that. Celebrate the small things. When you have some, you're hitting a few, you know, whatever's going right for you that day. Yeah, I'm celebrating the small things because nobody's going to pat me on the back. And so.
I like it. Did you ever watch Seinfeld when they were selling computers and they had a bell? Anyway, it turns out the guy wasn't selling computers at all. He was just going crazy and just rang the bell every time he hung up the phone. And it made everyone think he was doing great, but he was actually just losing his mind. Amazing, amazing. I did it again. I fell back into Seinfeld anecdotes. I promised I wouldn't do it in 2024. That'll be a next year goal. Marco Torres, marketingboost.com. What an absolute pleasure having you on the show today, mate. I have learned lots. Very, very cool stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. Anyone listening, we love you for that, or indeed watching, we love you even more. I'll be back next week with a couple more episodes of Coaches to the Moon podcast. Until then, thank you so much for listening. We'll have all the links that you need from the show in and around this show, depending on what platform you're on. And I'll see you next week. Much love and peace out. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.